on it.
Intervju Radija Študent.
V Berlinu oziroma v okrožju Friedrichshain so se s pričetkom poletja stopnjevali protesti zoper deložacije s kvotov in gentrifikacijo. Berlin ima bogato zgodovino gibanj zoper gentrifikacijo, ki segajo v 80. in 90. in katerih učinkov ni moč enostransko opredeliti. V obeh primerih se je gibanje organiziralo ob mestno-političnem vakuumu. Dan današnje neoliberalno postopanje mestnih oblasti v urbanistični ureditvi pa je rezultat razvitja strategije ob soočenju z gibanjem v 80-ih, ki je kasneje padlo na plodna širše družbena tla. V obeh primerih je gibanje znotraj sebe vsebovalo razpoko med usmeritvijo s kratkoročnimi cilji in tistimi, ki so na gibanje gledali kot sredstvom političnega boja. O tovrstnih temah smo spregovorili s sociologom in aktivistom Andrejem Holmom, ki poudarja, da je v Berlinu na delu več gentrifikacij.
In Berlin today we observe different phases or different models of gentrification in detail, and we compare gentrification as a kind of state-led gentrification organized by big urban renewal programs in boroughs like Prenzlauer Berg or Friedrichshain. This is in East Berlin in the former GDR. And on the other hand, we have this really classical kind of pioneer gentrification when artists and internationals move in, like in neighborhoods like Neukölln. Yeah, this is our West Berlin's inner city neighborhoods with a really bad reputation 5, 6, 7 years ago, and then we have this influx of students, artists, internationals, and they shift the symbolic meaning of the neighborhood, and then real estate activities started based on the symbolic upgrading. And then we have a kind of, I'm call it rental gentrification in neighborhoods like Kreuzberg, and the special thing there is that we observe a kind of gentrification and upgrading without modernization of the physical structure. Yeah, and the rent gap or the increasing rent prices are only realized by new contracts. Yeah, and also this kind of gentrification means that the former inhabitants has to displace for a higher profit of property owners at least and landlords. Yeah, and so we observed the three different kinds of gentrification, yeah, state-led and organized with public subsidy gentrification in East Berlin. We have this pioneer gentrification in Neukölln, and then we have this kind of rental gentrification we observed in Kreuzberg as the main features of gentrification in Berlin. Yeah, and then of course we have different smaller sites with also different models of gentrification at least.
What about the squats in Friedrichshain, where this protest took place from the start of this summer? Through which type can they be explained?
Now, this is an quite visible contradiction of a former urban conflict, yeah? and maybe you know that we had in the end of the 1980s and the beginning of the 1990s after. Well, during the time of the reunification in Berlin and really big and successful squatter movement in East Berlin, yeah, and more than 100 buildings were squatted, and most of them were legalized by contracts between the squatters and the state. So and now most of these former squattered houses are situated in neighborhoods with a really high gentrification pressure. Yeah, in Prenzlauer Berg or in Friedrichshain, and also Friedrichshain, where this Rigaer Straße, this former squatted house, which with this riots in the last week, this house is also in a neighborhood with a high gentrification pressure in Friedrichshain, and what we observed is that we had a multiple change of landlord, of property owner of this former squatted house, and the current owner tried to push out the squatters, but it's not so easy for the landlord because of the contracts the squatters received in the beginning of the 1990s. Yeah, and at least this is a tension between a successful urban movement in the beginning of the 1990s and this high rental income expectation by the landlords today. Yeah, the squatter with their contracts in their houses pay around 3 or 4 euro per square meter, and the landlord argue it's possible to gain more than 10 euro per square meter in this neighborhood, or 12. Yeah, and this gap between the actually ground rent realized by the agreement with the squatters and the expectation by this company or landlord, this produced this kind of pressure against the people living in the former squatted houses today. Yeah, and of course you can also argue the reaction of the former squatters by this economic pressure. Yeah, because if they were evicted from their house, they will not able to find another opportunity to live in this inner city neighborhoods. Yeah, and therefore, this economic pressure is a good explanation why they use this really strong mobilization against the eviction of their house and their rooms there.
Friedrichshain is also a part of East Berlin, where, as you mentioned, the processes in the 90s, it was affected from the processes in the 90s, but also after 2000, some policies, urban policies that could be called neoliberalistic took place. If you could just elaborate what kind of changes did this neoliberalistic policy bring?
The history of urban development in Berlin after the reunification is a kind of really dense story from the welfare state organized housing policy and an urban policy in the beginning of the 1990s, when the state was spending much money subsidies to start urban renewal programs in East Berlin, also in Friedrichshain and in Prenzlauer Berg, surrounding the neighborhood, surrounding the former squatted houses. And then in the end of the 1990s, we had a really dramatic shift from this welfare and spending oriented urban policy into a austerity urbanism. So, and one reason was that our government argued we had a really big and large public debt by more than 60 billion euros in Berlin's public budget. So and so they cut all the spendings for social housing, for urban renewal and other social programs, and organized this kind of neoliberal urban policy. So and a second point in this austerity urbanism was that they started a big wave of privatization of former public houses. Yeah, they privatized around the half of all public houses and reduced the number of public houses managed by the public housing companies down to 250,000 public housing, yeah, from around 500,000. So, and this two policies, this cutting of subsidies and also the privatization, changed the housing market at all. So, and produced this kind of displacement pressure we observed in the last years in many inner city neighborhoods.
And you mentioned that this policy is a result of also the happenings of the around the 80s and the movement in the 80s. If you can turn to that for just a second, how did that squatting movement start and develop, and where were its main contradictions?
I would not argue that the neoliberalization is a result of the former social movements of squatted houses in the 1980s or in the 1990s. But what we observed in our research on squatting and urban policies was that the influence of the early squatters movement in West Berlin, in the beginning of the 1980s, was much higher than in the 1990s. Yeah? And in the 1980s, squats were concentrated in urban renewal neighborhoods, especially in Kreuzberg. And in this time, the renewal in Germany and also in West Berlin means to demolish the old housing stock and build a new one. Yeah, and so the squatter movement has really strong relations to other urban movements and try to protect the old housing stock in the inner cities, yeah, and so it was a kind of historical protection of the historical building structure, and then the squatter movement was a kind of in a political sense a kind of trigger to shift the renewal policy from this demolition kind of renewal into a much more careful kind of renewal by modernization of the old housing stock and with a lot of participation of inhabitants during the process of urban renewal. Yeah, and so we can see that this early squatter movement influenced the urban policy in a really strong way, at least. So and then in the 1990s. The squatter movement was a kind of byproduct of the really comprehensive social changes we had during the time of the reunification. Yeah, and in especially in East Berlin in the former GDR, we observed the kind of crash of the whole social system and political system, and squatting was only one point in this transformation of a society, yeah, from socialism to capitalism, yeah, and this shift was much more than only squatting houses, at least, and this could explain why the second squatter movement in East Berlin in the beginning of the 1990s didn't have such strong influence on housing policy. Yeah? And the general change from socialism to capitalism has much more effect on urban policies in East Berlin, at least compared to the effects of the squatter movement.
Yes, of course, but nevertheless, the movement in the 80s did, and all other social and political situation at the time did contribute to that policy that was then launched in the 90s with a different background. If you could just a little bit elaborate, where were its differences and similarities between these two movements? Because as one similarity that you emphasize is that there was a split between the movement itself, which was then used by political authorities. So what were the differences?
Now, but what we discussed also in Berlin, but also in many other European countries, is that the neoliberal state used elements from social movements from the 1980s or beginning of the 1990s in different ways. Yeah? For example, the squatter movements claimed a kind of of really strong participation of inhabitants. Yeah, and in the 1990s, this was kind of contradictionary claim against the former way of organizing renewal. Yeah, and the neoliberal state learned a lot and co-opted some strategies from squatter movements and other social movements, and implemented, for example, elements of participation into their new governance structure today. So, but I would not say so that the neoliberalism was born in the squatter movements or so. It's more kind of co-optation of some elements. Yeah, they used, but it's not an relation of this is the cause and this is the effect, at least.
Okay, but nevertheless, how do you see this recent protest in light of the development of gentrification after 2000?
Now, but what we see in the case of this protest around the former squatted house in the Riga Straße in Friedrichshain is that this is on the one hand a really strong effect of gentrification in this neighborhood. Yeah, and this is the effect of gentrification because the economic background of this tension between the interest of the landlord and the interest of the water in the former and legalized squatted houses is this rent gap between the current rental income paid by the former squatters and the rental expectation. Yeah? And so the displacement pressure should and can explain in an economic way at least. So this is a one part of why gentrification can explain this riots in the last weeks, and the second is also an economic argument that the scene, the milieu, the former squatter movement living in this legalized houses did not had any other opportunities to settle in the inner city. So they have a really strong pressure to defend their houses. Yeah, and when they lose this contestations with the landlords, then they had to move out from the inner city. And this is also the reason why so many people in the streets and other former squatted houses supported this fight of the Riga Straße, yeah? Because this is a symbol for the displacement of former squatted houses, of uncommercial infrastructure in this neighborhood, and therefore yeah, thousands of people joining the demonstrations and supporting this fight of the Riga Straße on the streets as well. Yeah, but at least it is an reaction on the really strong gentrification and displacement pressure in this neighborhood. Yeah, and second reason for the really strong situation in the last weeks is political situation of our government. Yeah, and it's a social democratic coalition with the conservatives from the Christian Democratic Party and the senator for internal affairs and also responsible for the police. This is the conservative head of the Conservative Party, and he needs a kind of image as a law and order boy in the political system to gain some votes by the next election. So and this is the second explanation why we had this extreme situation in the last weeks in the street. Yeah, but the main reason of this conflict is gentrification and this struggle for housing, at least from this former squatted house and their inhabitants.
Okay, if we just turn to the gentrification processes in general a little bit again, mostly gentrifications are accompanied by a more, so to speak, panoptical structure of the city. Their architectural changes mirror the strategy of power, which wants everything transparent and no hidden spaces. Could the same thing be said that is happening in Berlin?
Now, of course, if you imagine then that, or you can imagine then that if gentrification is an at least economic process to change neighborhoods in into high price areas for wealthy people, then you have also an shift of the imagination of public spaces in this neighborhood. Yeah? And especially if you see the interest and lifestyles of gentrifiers in these neighborhoods, then it makes clear that they have higher expectation for security and don't need free spaces, yeah, because they can pay with their money most consumption they need, and therefore we observe in many gentrified neighborhoods a kind of higher security on the streets and a limitation of free and public spaces in the streets. Yeah? And one example is that in gentrified areas, the state invests a lot of money and also some private actors to upgrade public sites, playgrounds, parks, whatever. Yeah, and with this higher quality, we observed the tendency so that also the control by police and now they discuss so to have some kind of video control in public spaces, so but it's not realized yet. So but they are discussing it. So and so I would say that the transformation of former working class and subproletarian areas into middle class areas is accompanied by a higher securitization of public spaces at least. Yeah, and of course also in this process a squatter scene or a lot of yeah punk bars and uncommercial spaces in the former squatted houses are contradictory to this intention to clean the city in this neighborhood. Yeah? And also this kind of conflict is visible in this riots around the Riga Straße today.
No, sedaj vemo nekaj več. Intervju je pripravil Tit. Mi pa v čast temu mestu rolamo še en komad, sem tok, da zaokrožimo vso zgodbo o Berlinu.
Money like
Intervju Radija Študent.